SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up, Microsoft's huge AI investment, the AI skills in demand, and we take a look at US corporate reporting season. All of that and more next. Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Thursday, the 23rd of April 2026, a day where the Australian share market fell, the S&P ASX 200 down 0.6%. We'll have the details with Gemma Dale from NAB Trade in a moment. But first, employers are increasingly seeking workers with AI skills. Jobs website Seek says it's seen a 75% increase in job advertisements with AI references compared to the same time a year ago. They're most common for roles in information and communication technology, marketing and communications, science and tech, and consulting and strategy. For context, though, while growing, those job ads referencing AI only represent a very small portion of total job ads at less than 2%. Still, it's a sign of where the jobs market is going. And to tell us more, I spoke with Seek Chief Economist Mark Chapman. Of those AI-related skills being referenced in job ads, what kinds of skills are they looking for?
So it's interesting to look back over the full sort of decade of data that we have looking at AI skills. And you can see pre-COVID, you know, 2016, 2017, 2018, it was those very focused, specific AI skills. So it was around machine learning and computer vision, the tools needed to make large language models and make AI work as we know it today. And more recently, we've seen a real pickup in skills around just using Gen AI. So a lot of ads are saying, please have the ability to leverage AI in your work. We've also seen some growth in some niche but important roles when we're thinking about AI, and that's sort of like AI ethics, AI responsibility. So we know large corporations are thinking about how AI is used, and there's growing demand for people to think about that within organizations.
What about industries? Which industries are looking for people with AI skills specifically?
So as you can imagine, IT is where it all started, and it's growing faster in IT. We've really seen the amount of ads referring to Gen AI and AI skills really pick up in the IT sector. We have seen it flow through to a few other sectors. So science and technology was always one where it was pretty prominent. It's more the academic thinking around LLMs and the like, that was always there, but we've seen it flow through to more communications type roles and marketing type roles. So anything where there's a lot of language being written down or used, we've seen the pickup in AI skills demanded.
So to what extent do you think AI will really reshape then the workforce, and how do you see it impacting the labour force? In other words, will there be these huge job losses that some people are saying?
I mean, the future's pretty uncertain, and huge job losses aren't looking likely yet. It's very early, but what we're seeing is a lot of augmentation. So in these ads, still asking for a broad set of skills, and using AI generally is just one little part of it, and it's using AI skills and AI models to accelerate what you do, so becoming more productive. That's what we're seeing at the moment. We're not really seeing AI be the whole role, although that wouldn't show up in a job ad, of course, because that's just pure replacement. But we are seeing that demand still grow pretty broadly across the labour market at the moment.
So what's your message to job seekers generally at the moment?
So I think you've got to remember, not all jobs are done at a desk on a computer. So there's so much of the economy and so much of the labour market where you're not going to be using AI too much at all. So we think about our tradies, our construction workers, all of that, our taxi drivers, our Uber drivers. Plenty of jobs don't use AI all that much at all. And then the ones that do, I think if you want one of those roles, you've got to learn to embrace AI, learn the skills, learn how to use AI agents. It's going to make you more productive and more attractive to employers.
All right. So overall, we've spoken about AI. Overall, what is the job ad activity that you're seeing on Seek saying about the jobs market, especially amid the uncertain economic environment?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So we have seen ads easing a little bit. We were coming off a record sort of January. January hadn't been as good as it was for quite a number of years. And so you had that sort of decline post-January's big increase. And then we've got this uncertainty coming from global circumstances. And that really is, I think, dragging on employers at the moment. So if you're thinking about future demand for your goods or services, you're going to be a bit more hesitant, and you're going to be a bit more hesitant to be hiring in big numbers at the moment, just because you want to see that wave of inflation that we're going to see sort of pass through and see it settle. And the resolution, when it comes and if it comes, I think everyone's waiting for that.
And speaking of that inflation expected to come through, right, what you've got access to a lot of data in terms of salary expectations, what's being offered. What are you seeing? Are you seeing any signs of upward pressure in wages because of this expectation of higher inflation down the track?
So we have seen advertised salaries increasing, but it hasn't been driven necessarily by that expectation yet. It is more backwards looking. So there's still a lot of enterprise bargaining agreements being sorted out post sort of COVID inflation. So, you know, we had a couple of years of high inflation, and enterprise bargaining agreements tend to lock in wages for 3 or 4 years, and they take time to negotiate. So at the end of last year, we saw a few large EBAs get resolved, and that has pushed advertised salaries up a bit. And then we also saw the Fair Work Commission value cases coming through, and they've put increases into wages for nurses and childcare educators and things like that. So a lot of the advertised salary increase we're seeing at the moment is a bit backwards looking. It's trying to right the gender inequities we've seen in wages in the past and catch up on that lost real wage growth during COVID.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
That is Seek Chief Economist Blair Chapman there. Apologies, I think I called him Mark Chapman earlier. Mark Chapman's actually a colleague of mine, so I think got that confused. So Blair Chapman, the Seek Chief Economist. Now, this all comes today as Microsoft said it's making one of the biggest ever investments in Australia by a global technology company. It's seeking to build data centres which are used to house the computer equipment needed to power cloud services and AI, and follows similar announcements by others. Earlier this year, Amazon Web Services committed $20 billion to build such infrastructure, but Microsoft's $25 billion deal over 3 years trumps that. Microsoft has also pledged to help 3 million Australians build what it calls workforce-ready AI skills by the end of 2028, with these programs to be delivered by partners across government, industry, education, and the community sector. That takes us to the Australian share market, which fell 0.6% today as investors were rattled by reports of Iranian fire on ships in the Gulf of Hormuz. The materials sector fell the most, led by Lynas Corporation, down 6.7%. The big four banks were all lower. Property developer Mirvac lost 1.7%. Its CEO, Campbell Hannan, said in a statement, selected projects have seen a moderation in sales in recent weeks, but overall market fundamentals are solid and inquiries remain strong. Energy was a top performer today, and that's as Brent crude surged 5% compared with where it was at the market close yesterday. It's at around $103 per barrel. All of this as a number of global markets hit a record high. And to explain, I spoke with Gemma Dale, SMSF and Investor Behaviour Director at
Gemma. Yeah, look, it's really interesting sentiment. The consensus among many investors is that markets are too complacent in this environment when we have no real path that's immediately apparent to resolution in the Middle East. You know, it's still an incredibly complex environment. It's changing by the minute, it's changing by the day. And you can see that in the market response. So when you ask about what happened around lunchtime, the ASX actually fell pretty sharply at the open because we had news overnight of more attacks on ships in the Strait of Hormuz. And then we staged a little rally coming out of that. And then all of the regional markets and the futures open for the US. And that starts to get priced in. And then we take profits as well. So it's worth noting that the US market and some of the Asian markets are doing very, very well at the moment and have staged quite extraordinary recoveries from that initial dip when the war kind of kicked off. And there are profits to be taken. A lot of investors have actually done very well. And so they have an opportunity to kind of take a bit off the table when they can see the risk environment has not really settled down.
When we look more broadly, we know that shares in the US hit a record high overnight, particularly the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. Shares in Japan, Korea, Taiwan also hit record highs today before pulling back, as you just mentioned. But the Australian share market hasn't hit or reclaimed that record we saw a few months ago. In fact, we're now more than 4% away from it. Why do you think we're seeing that divergence?
Yeah, it's such a good question. I mean, the key thing is our markets are very different, and particularly the ones you're calling out. So Japan, Korea, and Taiwan, very tech heavy. You know, they have these very high quality tech companies. You've got Samsung, you've got TSMC, you've got these companies producing very high quality and very important technologies. And we have US reporting season at the moment, and the standout performance have tended to be the tech sector. Beaten up there for a little bit. We had the SaaSpocalypse. It was all looking very dangerous if you were not on the right side of the AI trade. But we're starting to see some positive results coming through in earnings season. Markets are very optimistic about that. The ASX is different market. We're heavily exposed to financials, where the domestic economy is very important. And when you have higher oil prices and very low consumer sentiment and so on, the economic risks are quite high. We have materials where you are a price taker and you are very much exposed to higher costs in the form of oil prices, as I mentioned. So it's a different market. We don't have those exciting tech stocks, and they're the ones that have run hard.
Okay. Are we starting to see any signs about how the war will impact the bottom line of listed companies?
It's such a good question. We have had some updates that have been particularly disappointing, and the really big news was Cochlear yesterday, which was absolutely smashed. It was down 40%. It was down another 7% today. It's really difficult to unpick how much of that is Middle East related, however, and how much of that is oil price related. There is a very heavy impact from consumer sentiment in the US. Consumers just not able to pay for higher priced goods, including healthcare. About sort of 5 to 10% of their sales come out of the Middle East, and that's obviously going to be affected. But there are a number of other factors. There's surgery in Europe and so on. So we are starting to see some numbers be affected, and we're starting to see some guidance. We have three of the four big four banks actually giving updates half-yearlies relatively soon, and that will give us a bit of guidance as to what they're seeing in the economy. But we get the business and the consumer reports coming out monthly as well, and they have weakened dramatically. So perhaps that's what we can rely on at this point.
Any interesting trends that you're seeing from your clients using NabTrade at the moment, especially as an outcome of the war?
One really obvious one, and this is such a standout. For the last 2 to 3 years, we've seen a lot of heavy buying in the energy sector. And that buying was because the sector, frankly, was very cheap. It's really inexpensive. Dividend yields were actually very high, particularly coming out of Woodside. And so investors who are agnostic to extractive technologies were very comfortable taking a really high yield and feeling it was a sort of a beaten up sector, and they were happy to own it. They are selling and trimming really hard right now. Energy's run so hard. They've done very, very nicely. They still have a decent amount of exposure, but you can see them all just taking a bit off the table just in case things normalize a bit quicker than they might have expected.
All right. So with that, where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Oh, this is such a tricky question. When I look at what people are buying, as I said, they're selling energy. The other thing they're doing is piling up their cash. So when they're trimming positions, they're largely allocating those sort of resources to cash now. They're just going, I need to keep a bit of powder dry for buying opportunities. They have been buying into healthcare though. So they were buying Cochlear yesterday and also today. They're keen on a bargain. Cochlear's prices are sort of back 10 years ago now. You've stripped out a decade of gains. They do like to buy beaten up stocks. So they're looking at healthcare. It hasn't been a great trade, obviously, for a little while, but it's where they're looking.
That's Gemma Dale there from NAB, and she wraps up the podcast for this Thursday. Give it a like, a review, and a close every weekday, and I'll catch you then.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
SBS Music Station is coming.
SBS Pop Euro.
Filled with Eurovision hits non-stop.
You want more? Tune in from the 1st of May.
On DAB Radio, online.
The SBS Audio app.
And SBS On Demand.